everyone. Welcome to Living the Good Life at Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're glad you've joined us today. And this is Pastor Marcia McAllister, and this is a very special day. It's August 2nd, 2009, isn't it? And I've got some special guests here live in the studio, and we are so glad you have joined us today on Living the Good Life. We have been excited about the teaching we've been doing and excited to get the word out to you. So today is going to be a great day where you're going to see and get some answers maybe that you've been looking for. And it's going to be a day of encouragement, a day of blessing, and a day of spiritual growth for you. So we're glad you've joined us today. And in the studio with me is, across from me over there, you look familiar, sir. You look really familiar. I've seen you someplace. I kind of think I gave birth to you. Is that right?
That's correct.
That is correct. Are you number one son?
Number child.
Number three child.
Number two son.
All right. Mark, it's so good to have you here with me today in the studio. And beside me is Mark's girlfriend, Stephanie. Can you say hi?
Hello.
And guys, there's a camera up there and everybody's watching you too.
Oh, wonderful.
How about that?
And it's a special day because it's your birthday.
Oh, well, I wasn't going to say that.
Okay, well.
But you did, right?
It, so.
You said it. It is. Yeah. So I guess you're glad I was born, because if I hadn't been born, you wouldn't be born, right?
So right. So it's double special.
It's a double special day. We had a great day at Beacon of Hope this morning in church. It was incredible. Pastor Jim preached, and I tell you what, he just brought the house down. There was an awful lot of amens and praise gods, and we got stronger in the Lord, and it was just a fantastic day. And then I went to lunch with these dear kids over here. And so it's just been fun. And we just ran in here. Some of you that saw us on the saw that we just ran in the door. But we're here. We're ready to have a great time, aren't we, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun. Mark, you live in where? Where do you live? Tell us, listening audience.
We live in Jacksonville.
Yes.
Jacksonville, Florida.
They live in Jacksonville. You used to live in?
Anaheim, California.
Yes. And tell this listening audience what you were doing in Anaheim.
In California, I taught at Western State College of Law, which is in Orange County in Fullerton.
Okay.
Did that for 3 years. And then Stephanie and I moved to Jacksonville.
That's where you met Stephanie, in Anaheim, right?
In Anaheim.
Right. Yes.
And now I'm teaching at Florida Coastal Law School in Jacksonville.
Cool. Yes.
So this will be my fifth year of teaching, starting here in the fall.
Right. And you love what you do, don't you?
Love it, yeah.
Absolutely fits you. I love what I do, son. I'll tell you what. I really enjoy this. I love this radio show. It's fun. Those of you listening today, we invite you. Stephanie's got the AOL up here running, and we invite you to comment or question during our show today. And that email address is very simple. It's pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and that's IES on the end of ministries. Some people get that wrong and it doesn't come through. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. So we are glad you've joined us today. God is answering prayer, and we just give him all the glory and the praise for all that he's doing. It seems like every time we turn around, there's another answered prayer. Stephanie, you've had incredible answers to prayer in so many areas of your life. Even just a few weeks back, you fell down steps. She does commercial real estate, and you fell down some steps, didn't you?
Yeah, on my way to work, I actually park in a parking structure that is across the street from the building, and I park on the fourth floor, so that means I have four flights of stairs to climb down. And coming to the last flight of stairs, I accidentally tripped and went down the whole cement block of nine stairs, and really hurt myself.
Yes, exactly. But it could have been so much worse, could it not?
Absolutely. I actually went to the urgent care, and they were amazed that I did not have any broken bones.
Praise God.
Or had did anything to my head. My head was completely clear. I just ended up with lots of bruises.
That's debatable, though, isn't it, Mark? I don't know.
Yeah.
Not that they know of.
No. Yeah. Not from that fall, at least.
Right. Yes. But that's a big praise God, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, God is always there for me, so I praise him in anything I do. And and fall into.
Yes. Amen. Amen. It's fun. And you love your job?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a perfect job. You know, I had to rely on God because when I moved out to Jacksonville, I had no job. I kind of was just, you know, looking and searching. And of course, in this economy, finding a job is not very easy. And so, you know, praying for that job and getting one actually that came through to be exactly perfect for me was just a blessing, you know, that God gave to me. So
what's that say about God?
He is good.
He is good.
He's good God.
And he cares about what the desires of our hearts. Mark, you couldn't be happier in the job that you're in, could you?
No, I mean, I loved the job that I had before this.
Right.
But I also had a desire to get back to the East Coast from the West Coast.
Right.
And I
be close to your mama, right? That was it? To be close to your
exactly.
mama?
Exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
Of course.
And I interviewed with 9 different schools at the time. This was about a year and a half ago, almost mm-hmm. 2 years ago. Yeah. And this was the last of the 9.
Yes.
And it's an interesting story in and of itself, but if I had put it down on paper what I would want, it would have been, you know, good.
Right.
But this is better than that.
Right. Wow.
And just the way it unfolded, it's kind of similar to what Stephanie was saying about her job, that couldn't have pictured something better. So
exactly.
I really fortunate to have a job that I love. And that's what I tell
Amen.
My students the first day is that not all of us get that opportunity, and I'm very fortunate for that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yep. Amen. Back in Indiana, if you remember, Mark, when I was pastoring and started the church in Newcastle, Indiana, many, many years ago, 1985, we had 2 radio shows every week. We had one on the WERK channel in Muncie, and then we had one in the Newcastle channel. So every Sunday morning, we had a 9 a.m. and a 9:30 radio show that I taped, actually, not live, Thursdays. I would go into both radio stations and do the shows. And then these were the days of reel to reel. Matt, do you remember reel to reel? I mean, it was incredible, the difference. You even have, it's just in the difference now. But I would tape those, and then they would play those on Sunday morning because, of course, we had church on Sunday morning, so I couldn't do them live. But I loved, it's when I got the bug for radio, you know, I just loved this ministry. And it was always been in my heart that someday God would allow me to do radio ministry again. And we are so blessed to be on Tan Talk 1340, mm-hmm. because not only is it to 3 million people in Tampa Bay, but now with the internet, which is just amazing, we are global around the world, and we have a lot of listeners in different states and other countries. So it is a blessing, and we love all our gang here at Tan Talk. And Matt's this great engineer we have now. He's just wonderful. And so all is good. So God does give us the desires of our hearts. That's my point.
Yes.
We are excited about what God is doing at Beacon. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to join us. We are actively looking for a new place to worship. We are outgrowing where we are. And so you can be praying with us about that, and that we find something soon, hopefully in the next few weeks, and then we will keep you informed if you are in the Tampa Bay area or coming our way on vacation, where we're going to be located. So we are on Almerton Road right now in Clearwater, and so we're excited about this new change that God's bringing about and the growth that's coming. We have an exciting show for you today, and we are talking about something very important. Mark, can you give it like in a sentence before we go to this first song, maybe what our topic is that the first song is talking about the life's defining moment and just the topic that we were talking about, you know,
broadly, I guess we're talking deception.
Deception.
The nature of deception.
Okay.
And the fact that there is a deceiver out there in the universe.
Yes.
Named Satan.
Exactly.
And the nature of what that deception is and how to recognize it in life and what to do about it when you see it. Mm-hmm. So
isn't that cool?
Broadly.
Broadly.
That's the topic.
That's the topic. But I'll tell you what, we've got some good nitty-gritty stuff to talk about. Wouldn't you say,
sure,
Steph?
Yeah.
We're excited. We're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. Listen to this song. Connie put one of my favorite songs on today, my new song, Defining Moment.
Time surrender and choose to follow Christ. He's been waiting all our lives to hear us say,
life's defining moment. And you are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, live coming to you right now from Clearwater, Florida. And I got to say today, beautiful Clearwater, Florida today.
Yes.
Wasn't it gorgeous, Stephanie, as we drove by the water here and came down and saw the sailboats and everything? Life's defining moment when you choose to believe. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into some nitty-gritty stuff right now. Go with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, looking at verse 8 to start off. I'm in the Message Bible. Mark and Stephanie have the NIV, but we're going to start with the Message Bible, 1 Peter 5:8. Keep a cool head. That's interesting. Stay alert. Stay alert. Boy, we can comment on that for a while, because I think they're alert to where a lot of people, Christians, and even people that are trying to decide if they want to be a Christian, get into a lot of problems because of not being alert. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just when we're not aware of what we have to fight, we don't fight.
Right.
You know, we've got to be aware that there is a battle out there. And I want you both to comment on this in just a minute. But I'm going to finish reading these couple verses. So keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce. The devil is poised to pounce. Now, do you have it in your NIV right there, one of you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Either one. Read it here, starting there with verse 8, and read down through verse 11.
Mark?
Yeah, it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour.
Mm-hmm.
Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Wow. Aren't those powerful verses?
Sure.
What do you see right there, teacher? Let me just, I'll picking on you right away, Mark. What do you see? What are some truths right there?
I mean, I apply my analytical. I can't help but
take each passage
of this and break it down. And it's, you already touched on be self-controlled and alert.
Yes.
Your enemy, the devil. So that right there identifies who the enemy is.
Exactly.
Very identifiable enemy, the devil. And what's he doing? Prowls around like a roaring lion, which means has prowled around in the past. He's currently prowling around even as we speak.
Right this moment? You got to be kidding.
That's what it says. Or prowls around like a roaring
yes.
lion.
Yes.
Not like a little, I don't know, a bunny rabbit.
Yeah,
but like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour.
Exactly.
And I would... And
seeking
of,
out people, in other words.
And it's sort of... It does say lion. I'm going to... This week is Shark Week on Discovery Channel.
Oh, it is. That's right. It is.
One thing I have learned from Shark Week.
Your brother loves Shark Week, by the way.
Sharks seek out the weakest. If there's been a shipwreck,
okay.
for example, and there are 10 people floating, if one person has a wound, that's the one the shark goes to.
Oh, wow.
So the shark seeks out the weakest of the bunch.
Okay.
And then goes from there. As soon as that is eliminated, they go to the next weakest. And this says, your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him standing firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings.
Yes.
We're all in the same boat. Looking for someone to devour, I'm reading into that, implying that this is an active process, looking for someone who is not resisting.
There you go.
Right? That's the implication of this. And then, I don't know, we can go from there.
Go ahead.
Verse 10, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, what jumped out to me was, wait a second, why does there have to be suffering for a little while? After
yes.
you have suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong?
Right.
And that, for me, brought to mind Jesus himself being tempted and having
yes.
suffered for a while, and himself even needing God to come minister to him, or angels to come minister to him.
That's
after
exactly
that
right.
time period, that it's all the same process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And no one's exempt from it.
Right.
No one's exempt, although sometimes we want to think that we should be, right?
Yeah.
We want to think that, oh, wow, why am I going through this? You
mm-hmm.
know, why is this happening to me? Have you ever felt that way, Steph?
Absolutely.
You felt that it's like, what is this all about?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens to us as we resist? Because this says, and I'm going to read it to you from the Message Bible right there where it starts and says, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Mm-hmm.
It says, keep your guard up. And then it says right before that, the devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yeah.
And how does he do that? How does he catch us napping? Your turn, Stephanie. How does he catch us napping?
Well, I think, you know, he catches us when we think everything is going well and good in our lives. And
right.
we don't really rely on God. We're just, you know, relying on ourselves, knowing that, you know, things are good in our lives. You know, there's nothing there. And that's when the devil seeks us, because then there's a chance for him to come into our lives to, you know, destroy what God might have planned for us. And so when we're in that place of contentment, the devil finds it an easier way. Or like Mark says, we're the weakest shark out there that he can deceive us in these lies and take us away from, you know, the good times.
Exactly.
And that's probably where deception comes in, because when life is going really well, your tendency is to think that you don't need God, that you've got it figured out.
Yes.
You can take care of the details. But that's actually the point at which you're at your weakest.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting. That's
true.
The point that you're at your weakest when you feel the strongest and feel that you don't need God. You're just like, I'm doing this on my own. I'm doing okay.
Because
the point of this show today is about deception. I think that's an incredible issue right there you just brought up. Go ahead.
Because that's actually a lie.
That's a lie.
It sounds right.
Yeah.
To a lot of people.
Right.
It sounds counterintuitive.
Oh, that's a big word, Mark. You're going to have to explain that word to some of our listening audience and to your mother.
Well, the very nature of deception, I guess I'll just say the very nature of deception is that you identify with the message because it sounds right, but in fact, it's completely the opposite of what the truth is. And I think there's, when we were talking about this earlier, I think there's tangible evidence of this happening in your life, whether you're a longtime Christian or someone who's very... a new Christian or not a Christian at all, when you pick up the Bible and read it,
okay.
or when someone tells you about the truth, Mm-hmm. True Christianity. It sounds very strange.
Right. It does.
It's actually the opposite of a lot of things that you feel that you know.
Right.
But it is the truth. Mm-hmm. And that applies whether you're reading the Bible for the first time or coming back to it after years or even just months. What's amazing about that, what's shocking about it is it seems foreign. And that is proof that you've been deceived.
Okay. Good
that
point.
In and of itself.
When you've taken a hiatus from the word, when you've gotten off and doing your own thing and out there just living it up or whatever, and you come back to it, it seems foreign. Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead with that thought.
So I think that in and of itself is proof that you have been deceived.
Right.
Because deception, the very nature of it again, is not an obvious thing. It's not like it happens and you realize what it is. The very nature of deception is that your whole way of thinking about a topic or about life in general has become twisted.
Exactly.
And we'll talk about how that can happen, and you don't even realize it.
So the devil, we are agreeing with this word, right? Let's establish that right mm-hmm. now. Our premise here is we believe what God's word says right now, that this is a spiritual battle we're all in. That we're just not here to have a nice job, have a nice car, have a nice house, have a nice life, have a nice couple kids, 2.3 kids or whatever that is now. It's not just about that, right?
Right? Right.
Our real life is what? A real life, Stephanie, what is it?
To serve God.
To serve God, and it's spiritual, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, and we get caught up in all the other things of life, and we allow the devil really to devour us, mm-hmm. okay? And to really attack us. And I want to talk about this more as we go through this show, because I really believe that this is something the body of Christ needs to be reminded of routinely. The devil is out there to deceive you, torment you, lead you down a path that's not going to be good for you, mm-hmm. Cause you to get off into crazy thinking, cause you to get away from God, because God's word says in James chapter 4, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. Right. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Mm-hmm. That's James 4, 7 and 8. I'm going to say it again. These are important verses. Draw close to God and he will draw close to you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amen.
And comment on that.
So as the going back to this verse, if he is the roaring lion looking for the weakest person to devour, it makes sense that if you resist him, he'll move on to the next person.
Aha.
He's trying to find the weakest.
Right.
And back to the analogy of the switching it up from a lion to a shark.
Okay.
If you're floating in the ocean with 10 other people.
I am so glad I'm not doing that right now. So glad.
And yeah, the ship has gone down, but there is a life raft.
Yeah, okay.
You're
all
very
right.
aware of your situation.
Uh-huh.
You know that you're in the ocean with 10 other people, thankfully, and there's a life raft there and available.
Right.
What are you going to do? You're going to get into the life raft.
I would hope.
So you're aware of your situation, that if you stay in that water, you are vulnerable to the shark attack.
Okay.
And this goes back to just being aware of what's actually happening.
Exactly.
By mm-hmm. analogy, if you're not aware that you're actually out in the ocean exposed, you don't know that what you need to do is to get into the lifeboat.
Exactly.
By analogy, if you're not if this verse that we read is news to you,
right,
then you don't even know that this is happening.
Exactly.
So you can't take the steps that you need to take to protect yourself.
Amen and amen. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that's a big problem with people saved and unsaved. They're just not aware of this battle. I find it interesting that the world seems to be fascinated with scary movies and movies about demons and things like this. But if you ask them and pin them down, do they think that those things are really actually able to attack them? Ah, no, that's just, you know, science fiction.
Yeah.
But in reality, the devil is out there. We're reading it right here, 1 Peter 5:8, if you have your Bible. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. That's what he wants to do. And some of you out there, can honestly probably say, if you tell the truth here, that you've been napping in some ways. Mm-hmm. And the devil's been taking advantage of your emotions and maybe your physical strength mm-hmm. and other areas.
And so don't be surprised if things are not going perfectly.
There you
right?
go.
Because you are being hunted and quite possibly devoured.
Mm-hmm. Quite possibly.
But again, the very nature of deception is it's a slow process that you're not even aware of sometimes.
Exactly. Why not let yourself be devoured? Why not? Isn't there something about this whole truth of the gospel that says God wants us to live? 3 John verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I mean, that's God's desire for us, mm-hmm. the abundant living, the getting a handle on the issues in our lives that try to bring us down. God says, let's learn how to fight that junk. Let's learn how to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know,
mm-hmm.
we got to learn.
Exactly. You have to learn. You have to know, and you have to grow and seek that truth.
How do you learn it? How do you learn it?
You have to go through the valleys.
Yes.
You have to experience what God can do in your life.
Yes.
And you have to, you know, read the Bible and understand God's character and what he is here for. And also understand that, you know, we need to resist the devil and we have the tools to do that.
We have the tools.
We just need to find them.
But the reality of life for a lot of people is it is easier to not fight.
Right.
That's to answer your question.
Yes.
Why would you let yourself be devoured?
Right.
It's easier.
It's easier.
On a daily basis, moment to moment, it's easier not to fight.
Let's go back to your analogy of being out in the middle of the ocean and you've had a shipwreck. What happens, and happened recently a few months back to the football players
right.
that died here mm-hmm. in the water. The heat, the sun, the lack of proper hydration begins to make you crazy.
Right.
Okay. Now the word of God is always referred to as the water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There, when you're out there in salt water, you're not able to drink that. Okay. So it begins to get to you and your system begins to get crazy in your head. And people think, and some people feel that a couple of these guys felt that they saw something. It was like a mirage. They saw something they started to swim toward is kind of the feeling. I don't have my facts really good on that, so I'm not going to comment that any further than that. But I will say that I know of other stories where this has happened, that people get kind of crazy and don't really see it for what it is. And this is where we have got to be alert and keep a cool head. And we are going to talk about this today. And we are glad every person has joined us today. Aren't we, Steph?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Let's go to station identification. Don't go anywhere. Come back to Living the Good Life.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network, AM 1340 WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg, and AM 1350 WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel.
All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're glad you've joined us today. If you just joined us, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister, and there's another McAllister at this table, and it's my youngest child and my wonderful guy, Mark, over there. And his girlfriend, Stephanie, and we're glad you guys have joined us on the show today. Those of you out there would like to comment or send a question, you can do that because we have the internet up and you can send it to pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com and we will be happy to get your question or comment on the air. Let's go back to this discussion we're having about deception today, and it will be life-changing for you. You still have time to get on the phone or email somebody and say, why don't you tune in today to Living the Good Life and give them that address to do that. It's tantalk1340.com. If you're in the Tampa Bay area and listening to us on the radio, you can get great reception at tantalk1340.com. Let's go back to a point here, Mark and Stephanie, about the veracity of the Word of God. Okay? The truth of the Word of God being the basis of any discussion. Want to comment on that? Because we got to have a place to start with, right? I mean, you're a law professor, son, right? What is your... You teach constitutional law or not constitutional... Okay, go ahead, comment on that. If you will, because I think that analogy can be made here.
Well, certainly even at the undergrad level, but definitely at the graduate school level, you encounter colleagues, professors, you know, experts, if you will, who strongly believe that truth is relative.
Okay.
There is no absolute truth. And I'm generalizing here. There are plenty of people who believe otherwise.
Right.
But I was actually talking with a PhD in philosophy recently, just last week, and he said the one thing that he loves about the law is that it's tangible, it's real. Some people listening have had, everyone out there has had some legal problem. It's a
right.
tangible, real thing in your life. Or, you know, some encounter with the law, whether it be a contracts issue, a will, a family law dispute, whatever it is. So it's real and it's tangible. And he said, unlike philosophy, in philosophy, you read theory after theory about life. And he said he eventually came to the point where he threw up his hands and said, well, here's yet another theory that's internally consistent,
okay.
logically consistent, just yet another one, right? So there are plenty of versions of the truth out there.
Right.
Especially in the academic world. But and I've had colleagues say, actually teach, as a matter of fact, in a class that truth is relative.
Okay.
Right? And some people do feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have anything to compare against, you cannot recognize deception.
There you go. Great point. Did you all get that? Write that down. You got to have some standard to know what truth is, mm-hmm. okay?
Right. And that's why, kind of going back to an earlier point, that if you read the Bible, let's say you pick up the Bible and you're sort of amazed, you have that aha light bulb moment
right.
about what you're reading. Wow, I didn't realize this. That's evidence that you've been deceived. If you believe the opposite of what's in there, this is truth.
Right.
Nothing else is truth. You've been deceived. So how do you guard against that? You get yourself into this
yes.
Bible and you read it
mm-hmm.
so you stay current.
And the more you read it, the more you begin to understand that this really is the living Word of God, that it is alive. And it says that in Hebrews 4:12, that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to get down on the inside of you and change you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard people for years say, oh, don't marry somebody expecting to change them because you can't change anybody. You know, that is probably true. But guess what is also true? God's Word can change our minds and our emotions. God's Word has the power to heal mm-hmm. our wounds.
Mm-hmm.
God's Word has the power and the ability to get down on the inside of us and do something to us and in us that all kinds of philosophy can't do. God's Word is alive. You're going to read something there, Mark. I see it right now. Go ahead.
This is weird. I was just thinking of a verse. I had no idea. I'm just being totally honest here. No idea where to find it.
Okay.
But I thought maybe I've highlighted it at some point, so I'm just going to start flipping. It took me 10 seconds.
I saw you come across it.
It's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in mm-hmm. the end it leads to death.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It seems right.
Right.
There is a world view.
Proverbs 14, 12, listening audience.
There is a way, in other words, the way that you're living.
Okay.
That seems right. It's,
right.
It's to you as you go about your daily life. And I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. This happens to all of us.
All of us, yes.
It seems correct.
Yeah.
It's internally consistent, logically consistent. But in the end, it leads to death. In any way other than this way is what they're talking about there.
We have to. I agree with you 100%. Thank you for bringing that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing that verse mm-hmm. to us. Because God is trying to make a point here, and that is His Word is true.
Right.
Okay? Stephanie, you want to comment on that?
Well, I was just going to say when you were talking about how God's Word can change you.
Yes.
You got to recognize that God is God.
Yes.
And God can do things that no one can understand, no one can fathom, because
yes.
He is God. And you know what? He is able to do whatever He wants to do.
That's exactly right. He's in charge.
Yes.
But we have to come into agreement with that whole thinking, that whole way of thinking,
right.
that God's word is true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to come in line with it.
Mm-hmm.
What God says about me is true.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Jim this morning, I mean, he taught on Ephesians 1 and 2 about our position in Christ, that
mm-hmm.
we are seated with him in heavenly places,
right.
that we have authority over the devil. I mean, that we have the right to claim a verse and mm-hmm. say, I stand on this verse. I'm healed.
This is truth.
You know, this is truth. And that's what we're talking about. I want to take everybody to Isaiah 55, verse 11. And it's a common verse here that people know. And it's one that if you are establishing an arsenal of scriptures with us at Beacon of Hope, this needs to be in your arsenal. And it is Isaiah 55:11. And I'm going to read it in the Message Bible, and then maybe one of you can read it in the NIV. In the Message, Isaiah 55:11 says, "So will the words that come out of my mouth," this is God talking, "not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them." What? Who? What is completing the assignment? God's words. Do one of you want to read it in the NIV?
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
Go ahead.
It says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it."
Okay. So let's take an example of one of those words. Okay, God says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ
mm-hmm.
who strengthens me." I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And yet the devil comes and deceives us and says, "You're so weak. You're so inferior.
Mm-hmm.
You can't share anything with anybody. You don't have anything good to say. You don't have any good testimonies in your life. You aren't living in victory. Look at you. You're all defeated. Look at you. You're feeling sorry for yourself. Look at you, how depressed you are." The deception of the devil is a real thing. That's what we're talking about today on this show. And it's God's word that has to be sent to that deceptive thought
mm-hmm.
in order to change your mind.
To have the devil flee.
To have the devil flee. We resist him. How do we resist him? With a word. Mark, you have something there?
No, I was just wondering if you knew that I read that this morning.
I did not know that,
no.
son. No, because I got up and went to church. I don't know
I decided,
what you did. I don't know.
I decided I only had time for about 5 minutes
yeah.
of reading, and I read Isaiah 55.
No, I did not know that.
And
so,
that,
again, this is the Holy Spirit.
That verse actually stood out to me, but above that as well, starting in verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways.
Mm-hmm.
As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and
Amen.
My thoughts than your thoughts." And then it goes on down to 11, which I was also struck by, but this verses 8 and 9 are kind of bringing home the point that no matter how much you think you know,
right,
you don't even know.
You don't know that there's more. There's a higher wisdom.
There's a higher wisdom. Yes.
You can access it though.
Amen.
Right through this, and that when you do access the Bible by reading it, if you go on down to verse 11, then that word goes out and doesn't return empty. It'll actually do something.
It'll
like
do
you
something.
Said, it's the living word. It actually
right.
goes out and performs, which is amazing. But it's not that amazing when you think about, and you're going to have to help me with this.
Okay.
Isn't there a verse that equates the word with God? It says
the word is God.
The
yes.
word is God.
Right.
So then it makes perfect
John
sense.
John chapter 1, verse 1, 2.
Mm-hmm.
The word is God.
If,
the word was God.
If
yes.
you're piecing this together.
Right.
If God, if there is such a thing as God out there and he created.
If or there is.
Well, just,
in theory,
here's the thought.
Okay.
If this creator, this being actually created everything that we see and everything that we know.
Right.
Think about the power that's involved in that.
Exactly.
Unfathomable. You can't even picture.
You can't.
And if God is the word.
Yes.
Then the word is that powerful too.
There
right.
you go. Oh, that's great. Yes, yes.
So it's an unimaginable power that you can't even comprehend.
So we have right here in our hands the living word of God, and so many of us are not aware of the power that's right here.
Right, it's like a tool.
Well, if we were this aware, why wouldn't we use it? I mean, the computer, Pastor Jim said this, so I got to bring this his example this morning in church when he said when the computers first came out and it was all DOS and he was like afraid of it. And he was like, I can't learn this. You know, he's a little younger than me and even he thought he couldn't learn it. And then it became, you know, it changed and it became so simple to use, you know, and mm-hmm. learning it. Well, we so often look at this huge book and we go, I don't know what's in there. It's too much. There's 66 books in there. There's no way. There's no way I can get anything out of that. Mm-hmm. And yet, how like God, you have 5 minutes to spend with God in the scripture this morning. He takes you to a place and he speaks to your heart right. in those 5 minutes. He doesn't say, you know, Mark, because you can't spend 3 hours today. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm not talking to you. You know, he wants fellowship with us so much, guys, yeah. that when we make the effort, the word becomes alive and changes us. Mm-hmm. Woo! That's good
so
stuff.
Why don't we make the effort?
Why don't we?
I think there's a lot of reasons. Number one, in those moments where we consider it,
yes.
I'm just speaking from my own experience, I'm thinking, I need to set aside an hour tonight, right?
Yeah.
To read the Bible. What happens as we approach that hour?
Things happen.
Life.
And actually, life happens, yeah.
Actually, deception.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't need to do that. You're fine. You
devil.
You should watch the baseball game instead. Little moments of deception that come in.
Exactly.
These are just thoughts in response to your question. The other thought was, why don't we turn to this more often? Because there's something in us, probably as a result of the fall.
That's right.
That finds it more interesting or more fun to try to accomplish it on our own.
Right. We're human.
If we have an objective,
it's that rebellion.
If we have a desire in mind, I want to own a boat someday.
Right.
We don't then start giving more to church.
Right.
Right. Knowing that if the Bible is true, the boat will be given to us.
Right. Right.
It'll come back to us.
Well, that's the thing.
We try it on our own.
It's that rebellion in us. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I heard this in church the other day that, you know, like Mark said, we try it on our own first just because we think we can do it on our own. That you know, that's the human side of us. But what was in church is, you know, when we do it on our own, there's only two ways to do it. There's God's way and there's the devil's way. And when we try and do it on our own, that's definitely not God's way.
Right. Exactly. We are just we are lining up with doing our own thing that
actually
is against God. Go ahead.
And it's a shocking point if you can grab hold of it. The minister followed that up and said, if you think you're doing your own thing out there.
Right.
And a lot of people think, I'm just doing my thing.
Yeah.
Right. I'm okay. I'm safe. I'm going to church.
If you think you're doing your thing.
Right.
You've been deceived.
There you go.
You're actually doing either God's thing or the devil's thing. There is no in between.
Right.
Now, Connie had no clue what we were going to be discussing here. And here's our next song, Believe by the Katinas. And don't go anywhere because we're coming right back to talk more about deception. Believe.
If you choose to believe. When you learn his love.
gotta do is believe.
Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, just put your faith in him. It's gonna be all right. You know, just trying to get you to understand that it all comes down to believing. Even when you can't see, 'cause everything you'll ever need, he's already provided. Just believe.
God, you got to believe. That's what we're talking about today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. You got to believe. You come to a point where you choose to believe. By not believing in the Word of God, you're actually believing in something. Does that make sense, guys?
Right.
When you don't choose to believe what God's Word says about you, you are choosing to believe something. You're choosing to believe your own thoughts. You're choosing to believe the deception of the devil. And that's what we're talking about today on Living the Good Life. We are so glad you've joined us. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to come to our services Sunday morning at 11. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can find out where we're located. And you can also believe God for a new place for us to worship. We are also asking for people who are interested to become a partner in the radio outreach of Beacon of Hope that goes around the world now. We actually have new T-shirts, and they're, what color is this? I think they're yellow.
Yellow.
Announcing Living the Good Life, and it says on here, talk radio for real hope, real truth, real life, real people. On the back, it's got, you know, our web address and where we're at. If you become a partner with us in this ministry, we will send you one of these T-shirts free. All you have to do is give us your address and your size, and we will be happy to do that. We are taking partnerships now, which is great. Got an email a couple days ago from a lady that says, I'm a partner. That's what the subject line said, which is really cool. So you can, of any donation monthly, any amount that you decide to regularly give towards this radio outreach, because we want to expand it, and you are welcome to become a partner with us. Just go to email me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and we will get with you on that. We are excited that you have joined us today. So Sunday morning at 11 at Beacon of Hope, and Wednesday night at 7 is Bible study. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 54. And I'm in about verse 12 or 13 here with my son Mark today on the air and his girlfriend Steph. And it's so good to have you guys on. Are you having fun yet?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. I'm going to start with a verse which is interesting since you're my son sitting over there, Marcus. All your children, this is about verse 12 or 13 because in the message I don't know the exact verse it is. All your children will have God for their teacher. I claim that right now for all my spiritual children around the world, but also especially my children and my four wonderful grandchildren. All your children will have God for their teacher. What a mentor for your children. You'll be built solid, grounded in righteousness. That means right standing with God. Far from any trouble, nothing to fear. Far from terror, it won't even come close. Far from terror, it won't even come close. Now, wait a minute. The devil does all this around us and causes fear. Would anybody agree with that?
Yeah.
Does he cause fear? Does he cause terror sometimes?
Yes.
Have you ever been awakened in the middle of the night and you're so scared about something that's coming down?
Yes.
Stephanie just said yes. Or you're worried about how you're going to teach that class the next day, Mark. Or I get worried about real estate deals or whatever the case may be, right?
Right.
Right. Okay. And he says, if anyone attacks you, don't for a moment suppose that I sent them. Wait a minute. If any should attack, nothing will come of it. And he goes on to say that he creates the blacksmith who fires up his and forges, makes a weapon designed to kill. Now, remember what Jesus said in John 10:10 about Satan, the destroyer. Mm-hmm. He said the thief comes to do three things.
To steal, kill, and destroy.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Jesus said that in John 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, since Jesus said it, do you think we should believe it?
Yeah.
Does that acknowledge that we know that we have a deceiver out there trying to steal from us, kill us, and destroy us?
Yes.
We're going to talk about this deception. I believe a lot of us don't even remember that we have an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
We're just kind of going along. I have nothing out there that's going to hurt me. You know, I'm tough, you know. But Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Then the rest of that verse is this. Jesus said, but I have come to give you life and to give it abundantly. In the Amplified Bible, it says right there, till it overflows. Till life is just overflowing with God's blessings, his goodness. You open your Bible and he speaks to you. That's a blessing. You read something and it just like gets into your heart and you're going, yeah, that's it. And you can only do that when you realize you have an enemy and then you have somebody who's in your corner. You got an enemy and you got somebody who's in your corner. You know, there's times as little children when we need to know that somebody's going to stand up for us, right? Mm-hmm. And fight for us,
right.
You know? And as children of God, we got to know that God's in our corner. Comment on all that. I've rambled
for a minute. Well, I was just thinking that knowledge alone is the starting point, but it's not enough.
It's not enough. Why?
Because there's still a choice that has to be made by each person. You can choose life or you can choose death. Again, you can, even when you're aware that there's an enemy that's out there to devour you,
right?
You can choose to submit to that.
Right.
You can choose not to fight against it, in other words.
Why would anybody do that, though, Mark?
Again, I think it's...
They think it's easier.
It's easier.
Yeah. Ignorance.
Because life can be pretty good.
Yeah.
You can kind of float by and, you know...
And don't think you need to fight. You can just be okay, just the way you are, right?
Right.
And if in that case, I think those are people that are just really no threat to the devil's work anyway.
Right.
You know? They're just kind of going along. Rah, 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 rah. But does the devil just leave them alone? I find that a lot of times he still attacks. He still comes out, you know, because he's always out to steal, kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm. And he's looking for someone to devour.
There we go. We're back to First Peter.
The first verse we read, that really stood out to me. Devour.
Devour.
That's, if you're devoured, that's it. You've been completely taken. Right. There's nothing left of you if you're devoured.
Right.
If that's the end goal for him, then it's not going to stop right until you resist.
That's it. You have to resist. Otherwise, you're going to become the prey for that devouring. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to pick at your mind. The battle is in your mind. Why? Why is it there? And how? Give us an example of the battle being in your mind. And while you're thinking about that, both of you, I'm going to give you an example that I was thinking about earlier. Because as we drive along, I love to watch the sailboats out on the water. They're just gorgeous. And there have been times that I sit on the causeway and I watch these guys come in and they have this huge sailboat. And they sit and they get it all rigged up. You know, they pull this, they do that. It usually takes them an hour and a half or so to get set. These big sailboats, sometimes 2 hours, you know. And they do all that, and they get it all done, and then they go out, and they just have this wonderful sail. There have been times I've thought, you know, I'd kind of like to do that. But if I were forced to get on that sailboat and take it out, if somebody said to me, here, for $100, take it out, you know. I say, okay, yeah, okay, you know. Maybe it's a challenge. You know, I bet you can't do this. And I go, okay. I really wouldn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
As good as that looked, I wouldn't know how to sail that. I can paddle my kayak all over the place, you know. But as far as sailing a boat, I don't know how without instruction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can see the benefits of it. I can see how beautiful those sailboats are out there. And I can think, man, I wish I could sail. But as far as me actually doing that and taking the boat out, I can't because I've never been taught.
This is where I'd like to be able to open it up to the audience and get comments from people who have been on a sailboat. But I'm thinking if you think sailing is complicated.
Right.
Life is far more complicated.
Okay. Bring it home there, son. Let's talk about that.
So if you don't have, and it certainly is true that if you don't have training or experience in sailing.
Right.
You're just lost. You're when you get out there and the sailboat, is going to tip over.
Right.
If you really don't know what you're doing. So if sailing is complicated, life is far more complex.
Far more.
And without an instruction manual, if you will.
Yes.
I guess I keep coming back to that point.
And that's an excellent point, because that, why is that such a vital point right here when we're talking about the deception of the devil?
Without the benchmark to go back to, then it, very quickly everything becomes relative. There is no truth.
Okay, let's go to law, because you're a law
and
professor.
And then there is no deception either.
Well, this is true.
If anything and everything is true.
Okay. In law, when you're teaching a point, don't you go back to the point of law? Don't you, like, make a point based on, say, the Third Amendment or what? I don't even know what it is.
Exactly.
You want to amplify on that? Why get a drink of water?
The courses that I teach are primarily criminal law, constitutional law, and it's the same concept. We have our federal constitution, the United States Constitution, included within that is the Bill of Rights.
Okay.
And there are, just as one example, the law of the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment itself is something like 52 words long, 54 words long, something like that. You can look it up. That's no more than, you know, 50 or so words. Literally billions of words have been written about what those 54 words mean.
Wow. Good point.
And anytime there's a dispute about one of those words within the Fourth Amendment, the very starting point always, when you're analyzing any legal issues, to go back to the text. The Constitution is the highest law of the land. We all learned that in, you know, sixth grade history. The Constitution being the highest law of the land trumps any other law below it, statutory law, judge-made law, case law. Judges interpret statutes. They also interpret the Constitution. But the very starting point, sometimes in class, I just have my students, well, let's go back and look at the actual language of the Fourth Amendment. What does it say? Because if we lose sight of that, you can get really lost in the nuances of those billions of words that have been written about what it actually means.
Excellent point.
If you lose sight of the original source.
Right.
Anything starts to sound good. You can reason out anything, practically. And that's actually, you know, while we're on this.
Go ahead.
My scholarship is in the area of the Confrontation Clause in the Sixth Amendment.
Right. Some of you are going, what is that? Don't ask Mark that, because
that's a whole other show.
Unless you have, yeah, that's two or three shows, yeah.
But long story short,
okay.
In 2004, the Supreme Court did a complete flip on the law of the Confrontation Clause because, and notice what had happened, all of the case law had developed to a point where the Supreme Court woke up one day and said, this clause, this right of confrontation, is actually a procedural right that is guaranteed by the literal text of the Sixth Amendment. And the way the law has developed, we have forgotten the text itself. And so it's very easy to get away from the original source and to go down a road that seems correct, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But when they did a gut check and they went back to the text, they said, oh, actually, what we've been authorizing these last 25 years is something that completely violates the text, like the actual authority.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how there are so many parallels there with the study of law.
Exactly.
And it gets complicated.
It gets complicated. Oh, yeah. But what you're saying is, here's what I hear you saying, son, and we just have an email from somebody wanting me to hold up the T-shirt. All right. Guess what? We're going to hold up the T-shirt. And here it is. You want to hold it up there, Mark? Maybe they can see the front of it.
It's a nice shirt.
It's a request. I mean, it is a nice shirt. It really is.
Yellow with green.
Yeah. Green is for life, you know. Living the good life. A radio broadcast. And look at the back. Yeah. Talk radio. Living the good life for you. Sundays at 4:30. That's cool. Thank you for doing that. I think what we're saying here is that there has to be a final authority. So let's listen to this song, and then we're going to come back and talk about this. Michael English, feels like redemption. What Jesus did on the cross is the final authority right. in our lives. Come back with us here. Listen to the song.
I know how hopeless it feels when you're staring at the bottom of an empty heart. In my life I know how forgotten it feels, wondering if the world even knows who you are. But I've never known anything, felt anything like the love of Jesus. And it's hard to describe what's happening inside, but right now all I know. This gift of grace. Oh, and I know how healing feels. Oh, 'cause all my pain and all my shame and all my tears have been red. It feels like redemption raining down on me. It feels like
God. Thank you, Jesus. That's a great song. Michael English has been one of my favorite artists for a long time. It feels like redemption. God is moving in our lives, and he's setting us free from the deception of the devil. And that is a message we got to get through today. The devil is out to devour you. 1 Peter 5:8-11. We started with that as we started the discussion today. The devil is out to devour you. Now, let's be specific about the kind of devouring that the devil wants to do. And I'm going to leave it up to you, Mark and Stephanie, to talk about mind games. But I'm going to talk about the fact that the devil wants to devour your finances. He wants to devour your physical strength, your health. He wants to put sickness on you. God does not put sickness on you. Disease comes from the devil. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Some of you driving down the road right now, or some of you that are tuned in on the internet or listening on your radio, please hear this. Satan doesn't like you. He's out to get you. He's out to destroy your peace of mind. It is peace versus chaos. Some of you feel chaos a lot. And that chaos isn't coming from God. Jesus said in the John chapter 14, 15, and 16, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, you've got some responsibility here about letting your heart not be troubled. Stephanie, talk to me about this. Where are you thinking? What are you thinking here? These people out there listening, some of them are really defeated.
Yes. Well, I'm not perfect. And the devil sure loves to attack me all the time. That's because I'm going to do good for God's kingdom.
Amen. You already
that's
are.
That's the only
you
reason why.
Are.
But yeah, you know, I've recently have gone through some physical ailments in my life and have come to a point where the doctors don't really know what's going on, but they put this thing, you know, a name on what's happening to me physically. And I finally got to a point where, you know what? That's the devil speaking lies to my doctor, which is in turn relaying it to me.
And because it's not even definite something they can do anything about.
Right. They're just doing tests and saying, oh, it could be this, it could be that.
Throwing out ideas.
In the meantime, I'm feeling miserable and, you know, in pain. Well, you know what? I finally got to the point where my faith, that's my gift God gave me, is that I'm not going to listen to that.
Right.
I am not going to listen to what the devil is saying because he's deceiving me, thinking that if I grab hold to what the doctor's saying, that he's going to destroy me. I'm going to go into this turmoil of depression and thinking that, you know, I'm not going to be cured and that I can have a miserable life. Well, you know what? In reality, God's the ultimate answer, okay?
He's your healer.
He's
my healer.
Healer
of your body.
And you know, as soon as I rebuked all of that, I was healed.
And you started feeling better, didn't you?
I did, actually. I'm like, I cured myself. No, I'm just kidding. God cured me.
Absolutely.
All you have to do is reject those thoughts of, you know, I can't do this. I'm not going to be able to do this. I feel sick. You know, all this. You know what? God is capable of healing you in every aspect of your life.
Woo! Well said,
and
Stephanie.
All, what's striking about that is it all happened in your mind, right? You had to first, in the sense that you had to first recognize what was really going on here.
Right.
What looked like was happening was that this wow educated doctor was telling you what's wrong with you.
Right.
What was really happening, right? So in society's terms, we all look at doctors and we think they're infallible.
Mm-hmm.
They're brilliant. They're amazing.
They know everything. They know what's wrong with me.
That's not true. No one's infallible.
Mm-mm.
Right? And no one has that level of wisdom. You had to first recognize that that was a lie being spoken to you.
Right.
It could have been spoken to you by your neighbor, by anybody.
Right.
Just so happened it was a doctor. But that makes it easier to swallow. It makes it easier to accept.
Yes, right? Exactly.
So
that would have been the easy thing for me to do. Just say, oh, okay, another doctor's appointment next week. You know, maybe we'll find what's wrong and blah, blah, blah. But you know what?
But how were you able to, there's two things that stand out about that. How were you able to recognize that that was a lie?
Discernment.
Because you know what the truth is, first of all.
Yeah.
You have a baseline to compare it against. But also, what did you... Tell us again what you did in response to that, once you saw it for what it was.
After I cried for many hours to Mark.
Right.
I rebuked it. I didn't want to accept that that was the truth. It comes down to that. That is the lesson I'm actually learning this year is God wants things that are good for you in your life.
Exactly.
You know, and it's okay to want money and be successful and do all these things. And if you do it on your own, you can get there, right? You can make a successful life. But let me tell you one thing. When you do it on your own, you may get there and be successful. But when you do it through God, He is going to bless you 10,000 times.
Oh, amen.
Okay, and so
amen.
Here I'm learning that I can listen to these lies and not go anywhere and not be successful and have all these ailments. But if I know the truth that God doesn't want that for me, that I can do things through Him,
amen,
I'm going to be blessed even more than I could ever imagine.
Back to 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, mm-hmm. even as your soul prospers. So as your soul prospers as you get in the Word, you begin to take that Word in for you and get it inside you and say, hey, this verse is mine today. Mm-hmm. Every promise in the book is mine. That's a little chorus we used to sing when I was a kid in Sunday school years, many years ago. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Right. All the promises of God, divine, every promise in the book is mine. It's mine. Right. But I'm the one that has to choose life. Mark, you said choose life or death. Moses even said that and wrote that in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, choose now this day who you serve. He also said, choose between life and death. Mm-hmm. Choose between God's way or just kind of coasting along and let the devil mess with your mind. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, son.
Well, I'm just looking down at what my Bible is actually open to.
Okay.
Psalm 34. And I'm thinking, what is the nature of a choice? A lot of times a choice is, well, I need to choose. I got to buy a new car, so I need to choose which car to buy. Once you make the choice, it's over.
Right.
You've purchased it. That's your car for a while. You've made the choice. You move on. But this, I think here we're talking about an act that is required of you daily. And maybe to put it into the terms that I'm looking at right here in front of me. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears.
Amen.
Choosing is seeking.
Yes.
Seeking. And what does seeking entail? Actually doing something about it.
Making a decision.
Exactly.
Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I'm just reading here what's highlighted. It's all flowing along. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
Ooh, that's good stuff.
And that's where the life follows from the choice.
Yes.
You lack no good thing.
Lack no good
thing. That's code for here comes good life, a good life, right? Seeking the good life.
And the devil doesn't want you to have that. That's the thing.
Well, and that's the whole thing. Jeremiah 29:11-14 mm-hmm. is what this show is based on. And we named this show Living the Good Life on purpose. And the good life is the life that God has provided for you and said, this is what I want you to have. Mm-hmm. And Jeremiah 29:11-14 says, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and bless you and to bring you into the land where I want you to be and not to cause you harm and disease and sickness. Jeremiah 29:11-14 is God saying, I want all these good things for you. Mm-hmm. And Jesus saying, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came to give you life and to give it abundantly till it overflows. I'm preaching here. I know.
Oh, come on.
Woo.
So if you're driving around and you're thinking, I don't have that in my life, well, what do you do next then?
Right.
Well, it's very simple. You just tell God that. You say, I don't have that, and I want that, and I know that you've promised that, right?
Exactly. I don't have that peace, or I don't have that assurance. I don't have that joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Mm-hmm. And so often we get weak because we are not filling up our joy reservoir. Okay? And this goes along with the deception of the devil. Because the devil comes in and says, here's what's going to make you happy. Go buy something.
Mm-hmm.
Go shop. Go buy new shoes. You know, go buy a new piece of electronics. You know, all of those things. Go buy something and you'll be happier. Okay?
For like 10 minutes.
For 10 minutes. And it is fun to shop and buy a new car or buy something new. That is really cool and it's fun. But it is a temporary fix to a deep-seated problem. And I know from experience that only God can satisfy our deepest longings.
Right.
Our loneliness, our fears, our lack, our depression. All of those things, God wants to fix those in our lives, and he does it by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us as we study the Word. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to bring it back home. Here we go.
Okay.
Point one, the Word of God's got to become final authority in your life.
Amen.
For it deciding, I was talking this week, Mark, to your oldest brother, your only other brother, Ryan, And Ryan was such a blessing to me. And Ryan is, God has blessed him with a fantastic new job and promotion and all these things. And we were talking about, how do you know, Ryan and I were talking about, how do you know when it's God or if the devil's trying to lead you down a path? Mm-hmm. And I said, the thing that has been so important in my personal life is Colossians 3:15. And in the Amplified, it says, let peace be your umpire, right, settling with all finality the issues that concern you. Just like an umpire in a baseball game, he says strike, it's a strike. Nobody can just stand there in the stands and go, wait a minute, I think that's a ball. Well, I want you, and the umpire goes, okay, well, let's just say it's a ball. You know? No, the umpire decides with all finality. Okay? I can see you guys, both of your wheels are turning here. You got comments on this?
We're getting
peace.
It.
Peace is your umpire. Chaos is the devil.
Well, and on a day-to-day perspective, if you've got two avenues in front of you and you're having to push really hard on one doorway, if you will, and it just won't open, it's starting to open. If you push a little harder, it's starting to crack a little bit. And then the other door you go to and it just opens.
That's Which Ryan. One are you going to choose?
That's Ryan in this
There's
new job.
There's your sign.
There's your sign.
There's your sign.
Woo! Come back. We're going to have final thoughts in a moment. Be thinking about what you want to share. Calmer of the storm. We probably won't play all of this because I want to give Mark and Stephanie time to say some things, but let's hear part of this.
When everything is wrong, day has passed and nothing's done. When the whole world seems against me, when I'm rolling in my bed, there's a storm in my head. I'm afraid of sinking in despair. Teach me, Lord, to have faith in what you're bringing me. Will change my life and bring you glory. Hail on the storm, I am learning to let go of the will that I so long to control. I'm amazed at the power of your will. 'Cause I'm a child of little faith. I feel the wind and forget your grace. And you say, peace be still. Teach me, Lord, to have faith in what you're bringing.
We had more time to play it, but we'll do it another time for you. Calmer of the storm. There may be some of you listening out there today that do not know for sure that if you died tonight, that you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity. Stephanie, I'm going to ask you to repeat this after me so that those listening can repeat with you.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
And if you want to make this decision, it's very simple. Pray this prayer with Stephanie right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you now.
And I ask you to forgive all my sin.
And I ask you to forgive all my sin.
All my shortcomings.
All my shortcomings.
All the ways I have not pleased you.
All all the ways that I have not pleased you.
And I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
And I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he died on a cross for my sin.
That he died on a cross for my sin.
I receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior right now.
I receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior right now.
I invite you, God, to live in me.
I invite you, God, to live in me.
Holy Spirit, teach me your truth.
Holy Spirit, teach me your truth.
I am your child.
I am your child.
And you are my God.
And you are my God.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Woo!
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer, email me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries. I want to hear from you.
Yeah, congratulations.
And we will send you some things. Stephanie, wrap it up for us. We've only got a couple minutes, girl. Give us your final thoughts.
I just encourage you out there, you know, if you are going through some things right now and you feel that you are, you know, being sought out from the devil to seek and destroy you, I encourage you to, you know, just rebuke that. And you think, you might be thinking, well, how do I do that? You know, it's difficult. Do I have to do this and this? And I'm telling you right now, all you have to do is say it and believe it in your heart.
Amen.
Okay. And you repeat that and you repeat that as much as you can and trust that the Lord is going to do good things in your life. And he will.
Praise God.
This goes back to the sermon a couple weeks ago. It's just a thing. Whatever you're facing, and I know I'm just shamelessly taking this from the pastor, but whatever you're facing, from God's perspective, it's just a thing.
And he can take care of all things.
And he's all powerful. And there is no level of difficulty with God. To us, a cold is a whole lot easier to overcome than cancer. But from God's perspective, they're the same.
Right.
Praise
so
God.
That's the nature of faith, what you're saying, when you right. believe that God will take care of whatever that thing is.
He will.
From his perspective, it's done, and it's no big deal. It's
but
just
you,
a thing.
And you have to declare that, though, and you have to make that decision that that's what you want.
Exactly.
And I just want to say, it seems so hard, but it's actually quite the opposite. It's very, very easy.
Right.
Why is it easy, son?
It's just a simple flip of the mind. It's just a decision. And it's a recognition that it's off your plate.
And in God's hands.
And you don't have to do anything about it, and it's already taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it's just believing in what you don't see, right?
Believing that what the word says about us is true.
Right.
And it's just, it's really that simple. In that moment, you believe, you recognize whatever this is for what it is, and you say that's not consistent with what God says about me or what God wants for me, and it's that simple. It's over.
Right. So right. God doesn't want lack for us. God doesn't want, he says, you know, God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He doesn't want us sick. First Peter says, you know, that Jesus took our sicknesses in his body on the cross. Mm-hmm. We were healed. He doesn't want you driving around or walking around in mental torment because he is our peace who has broken down every wall of hostility that right. the devil raises against God's truth of God's word. We could go on and on about this. I'm starting a new series this week at Beacon of Hope entitled The Authority of the Believer. And how to really do this. Get nitty gritty about this. Wednesday night, we welcome you to come to Bible study. Prayer meeting starts at 6:15, and we pray the word. And Bible study at 7, bring your Bible, bring a notebook. It's interactive. Everybody participates. I teach, and we have the board there, and we write on the board, and everybody talks. And it's interactive, and it is getting down to the nitty gritty of what God's word says about you. And what we have established here today, kids, is that God's word is truth, that God loves you, has a plan for your life, mm-hmm. and that the devil's out to get you.
Yep.
And we got to learn to resist.
Amen.
Because otherwise he's going to devour you. All right, one final thought. Stephanie, then Mark, and then we're going to sign up off over here. Not sign up, we're going to sign off here.
I think Mark should go first.
All right. Okay, son.
Oh, just final thought is, just because I keep coming back to this, nobody's immune to any of this.
Right.
And mm-hmm. The Bible says we're all like sheep. We've all gone astray.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And there's not one who's righteous. Each of us has turned to his own way.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We all do it at some point.
Right.
No one's to blame here.
Right.
It's the nature of this life. But there is a choice to be made. We can choose to recognize that we've gone our own way and that we've been deceived. Mm-hmm. And we can come back.
Exactly.
And ask God to kind of straighten us out.
Amen.
That's sort of what, I don't know, concluding thought from my perspective.
That's great. Steph?
I was just going to say, you know, there goes that saying, which I got from my mother that I love so dearly. We can choose to wake up and make a decision about our attitude and what we're going to choose to have a great attitude or not. And I believe that you can wake up every morning and say, thank you, God. Please lead me in the way you want me to be
led. Amen. Amen. What a great show. My children, it's been wonderful to have you on the air today.
Thank you. It's been fun.
I get to do this every week. Aren't I blessed?
Yeah.
90 minutes goes back by pretty quick.
Yep. Just like glass. 90 minutes just
goes
flies.
By quick. It does. It's been a joy to be with you today. From Beacon of Hope Ministries and Living the Good Life, I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister with my son Mark and Stephanie Fleming today. What a joy to be with you. And our final song just gets me every time we play it. It's Not Far to Jesus. Join us next week on Living the Good Life at 4:30 live on this radio station. Tell a friend, and we welcome you to Beacon of Hope in Clearwater, Florida, 7 o'clock Wednesday night, 11 a.m. Sunday morning. We hope to see you. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and find out all about the ministry at Beacon of Hope Ministries.
His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to His side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust Him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. From here to Jesus. It's not far.